right, praise the Lord, everybody. Good afternoon, and good evening to some. We'd like to welcome each one to our Bible study this wonderful evening. We're thankful for God to allow us to be back one more time as we continue to cover in the Word of God. We thank God for His Word, His instructions, His way of speaking to mankind, not only just through prayer, but through His Word, His way, one way of communicating with mankind. So we're thankful tonight for God's Word. And you're looking for answers, it's in God's Word. You're looking for instructions, it's in God's Word. You're looking for, again, a blessing, it's in God's Word. So we must study it, we must learn it. You're looking for strength and protection. It's all found in the Word of God. So it's important for us to know it. It's important for us to study it. And so that's why we have Bible studies. And so tonight we will be covering part two of our final book we've been covering over the past over a year now. We've been doing every book of the Bible. And not so much verse by verse, but just an overview. But Revelation here is a little bit more, so I'm gonna slow it down, not all the way down, but I'm gonna give you just an overview still of Revelation and what it's all about. Many have been chewing on it, deal with it and touch on it. And so hope and pray that again it will be a blessing to you as you follow the website here. You hear my thing in the background, but I'd like to welcome each one to our Bible studies here this evening. We are thankful for God and His goodness, again, and continue to pray for one another as well. And we're looking forward to this weekend before we go any further. The broadcast is live, so this weekend is Mother's Day, so make plans to be in our service, 334 Ashford Street for Mother's Day, and then this Thursday night as well, 7:30, 334 Ashford Street. So come on out and be with us here in the house of the Lord. Again, so we're thankful to God for this. This is going to be something for the archives. So Mother's Day may not be this Sunday for some after you see this video. But again, for those that are watching it live, it's this weekend. Let's come bring your mothers. Bring your mothers. If you are a mother, come be blessed by God. Again, and come and receive a blessing from the Lord. All right, guys, we got a lot to cover. I'm going to try to cover a few more chapters here tonight. And we left off last week in chapter 3. It was about to start chapter 3. Yeah, you switch over? I don't even know where we left off at. I don't know where we left off at, but Hold on, give me a second, guys.
We left off last week.
I think I know where I left off. All right, because it's a technical difficulty there. All right, stay with me, folks. But we left off last week about how Christ dealt with the church. He dealt with the church first. We talked about at the end of the Bible where He dealt with the book of Jude and how He dealt with the church and how to get the church right so we can go home. And man, many times everybody wants to go home. We want to go to heaven. But the church must be right as well. The church must be right. And so we shared with you last week in the book of, I believe it was Thessalonians, how God has not appointed the church under wrath. He has not appointed the church under wrath, but naturally He wanted the church to be right, to be prayed up, stayed up, so we can go up. Amen. And so it's important. It's important for the church to guard their hearts, to guard our minds and our souls. Because again, the adversary is working overtime to see you and I, lost without God. Give me a second here, folks. I'm gonna get warmed up here in a minute. But I gave you the scripture last week. I'm not gonna use it, but I gave you the scripture last week about judgment must begin in the house of the Lord. It begins first in the house of the Lord, and so we must see that. And so the church, Jesus dealt with the church. So we're gonna go to chapter 3 now. Let's go to chapter 3. And we'll look at it this evening. And so he's dealing with the seven churches. Historically, there was these churches, but also we can find these churches in the modern day era as well. Characteristics of the modern day church, characteristics of various churches throughout the land. We can all get hit by something in this word. Listen to what it says in verse 3, chapter 3. The Bible says, unto the angels of the church at Sardis, I write these things, saith he, that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know the works that thou hast, that thou livest and art dead, that thou hast a name that thou livest but art dead. That's really a profound statement. Jesus said, you claim to be alive. You claim it to be alive, but you're dead. You claim Christian in name only. Christian in name only. And so he says, you're alive. You jump and shout, but on the inside is dead, dry bones. And brothers and sisters, Jesus was dealing with the church before he can bring judgment upon the land. The church had to be dealt with, his children. Again, you can't go beat somebody else's kids. You got to take care of your house first. And so Christ was taking care of the church first, getting the church in order, waking the church up, because there are many false doctors, many false teachers out there deceiving many. The Bible says in verse 2, be watchful. So he gave him instruction, be watchful, strengthen the things which remain. Those that are still around, those that still come to church, continue to strengthen them, get stronger in Christ. He says that they are ready to die. Are we ready to die tonight? Are we ready? Ready? Are we ready to die? We can die at any time. And so we must be ready to face our Lord. The Bible says, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. And so he says, get ready. Because, again, I see some things that are going on that are not right. Jesus was dealing with the churches first. The Bible goes on and says, remember thou how that thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. He says, if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. He says, and thou shalt not know what the hour I will come upon thee. And so he tells the church to stay alert, to stay awake, to stay alert. We shared last week about the 10 virgins, 5 were foolish, 5 were wise, 5, half of them fell asleep. And it's a very fearful thing. Half that church, the people, the church world is falling asleep. It's falling asleep concerning, again, their own salvation or the people's salvation, the community. Everything that's going on in our world, we must be awake. The church should be awake. We must awake unto righteousness, as the Bible tells us. The Bible goes on and says here in verses, he says, I'll come as a thief. I'll come as a thief. And so naturally, we see when people get caught up, and the Lord will show up and not be ready. Just like the 10 virgins. He showed up at midnight. They was not ready, except the 5 that were ready. We must be ready at all times. Let's look at some more. Verse 4. He says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, he says, which are not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. You think about this. He says, there are a few that have not defiled themselves. Think about Daniel, how he says they did not defile themselves with the king from the king's table, and defile themselves with the world. And in your life, the church cannot be defiled with the world. We got to be different. The church has to be different from what the world is doing. We must be different. We got to have a different speech, a different attitude, different the way we dress. The Bible says we must not defile our garments. There's a separation. There's holiness, a holiness standard. Holiness standard. Again, we shared with you the other day about nakedness, victory over nakedness, and we was dealing with spiritual nakedness. But you know what? Again, men and women, we should set the example on the streets. On the streets, ladies, young ladies, cover yourselves, keep yourselves again to where you don't draw undue attention, call lasciviousness. And so on and on and on. And as men, no doubt, we should set the standard and be a light to the world. Be a light to the world. And so. We want to make sure that we represent Christ in all facets of our lives, all facets of our life. He said they did not defile their garments. The Bible went on to say a little bit further. Number 5, he that overcometh the same shall be clothed with white raiment. And he says, I will not blot his name out of the book of life. Think about that. So apparently it can be taken out of the book of life. Many times say, once you pray, you're good. He says your name can be blotted out. If you don't keep up, if you don't work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, if you don't maintain it, if you don't live the life, again, anybody can pray, but you know what? You got to live the life, back it up as well. Remember what we shared with you last week? Depart from me, I never knew you, is what Jesus told us. He said, but we did this in your name. We even spoke your name. Demons speak the name of Jesus. The devil knows the name of Jesus. But you know what? There has to be something real about it. I'm dealing with this because God was serious about the church getting right. They was misrepresenting the head of the church. Misrepresenting the head of the church. Who's the head of the church? Christ. Jesus. We must represent Christ. He said, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Number six. He says, he that hath ears, let him hear, but the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 7, it says, the angels of the church in Philadelphia, right? These things said he that is holy, and he that is true, he that hath the key to of David. He says, he that openeth, and no man can, no man shutteth, and shutteth, no man openeth. And listen to verse 8. He says, I know thy works. Behold, I set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. He says, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not defiled my name. So again, he was really giving him some, you know, he was glad that he was satisfied at this point with them. And so he said, I see your strength. I see, I know it's hard. I know it's tough, you know, again, because of the persecution, various things that you may face in your life. He said, but you know what? They maintained. They kept fighting. They stuck to the fight. He encouraged them along the way. He said, but behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, and do lie. He says, behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that thou hast loved thee. And so he dealt with, again, those false prophets, those folks who had defiled the church. He said, I'm going to deal with them. I know it's wearing on you. I know it's hard to deal with. You say, why is this allowed to happen in the church? I know a lot of things go on, that they were defiling the house of the Lord, but he was telling them, just stay put, stay the course. I will deal with it, is what God was saying. He says, but because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, and shall come upon all the world. He says, to try them that dwell on earth. He says, behold, I come quickly, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So we must stay the course. We must stay the course. Christ is coming quickly. It'll happen before you know it. We must always be looking up. We must always be ready for that great day when the trumpet sounds and he takes his church home. We must always be ready, no doubt, to meet the Lord in the air. Number 12, he went on and says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He says, he shall go no more out. He says, I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And we talked about New Jerusalem last week. We'll go more in depth into it later on in the book. But it's the city of God. It's the city of God. It's God's capital. God's, that's where heaven is. We talk about heaven. That's where it is, the city of God. And the new heaven and new earth and new Jerusalem is going to come down. And so he says, when that happens, you will be there with me, as he was telling the folks here. And churches, brothers and sisters, let us be in that number as well. We want to be in that city. We got to make it to that city, the new Jerusalem. Number 13, went on to says, he that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So again, take heed to what Christ is saying. Take heed to how he dealt with the churches. Take heed to the preaching. Take heed to the teachers. Every day of your life, take heed to the Spirit of the Lord. When the Spirit of God deals with your heart, take heed to it, listen to it, and obey it. Let's go to verse 14. He says, to the angels of the church at Laodicea, right? These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. He says, the beginning of creation of God. I know thy works, and thou art neither cold nor hot. This is very serious. He said, I know your works. I see you. He said, you ain't neither cold nor hot. He said, I wonder that you were cold or hot. He said, I wish that you was one or the other. He says in verse 16, so then, because thou art lukewarm, he says, you're in the middle. You're in the middle. He says, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out, vomit thee out, gurgitate thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have a need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He said, on the surface, you got all the money you need. You're blessed and highly favored, is what people say. He said, but you're lukewarm. You're not on fire. He needs us to be on fire for the kingdom of God. He said, I wish it was the young, in between. One minute I'm in, 1 minute I'm out. 1 foot in, 1 foot out. 1 foot in the world, 1 foot out of the world. I'm light, and then sometimes I'm dark. He said, you in the middle. There's no gray in God. There's no lukewarmness in God. I'm going to spew the air. Let's be on fire. The church needs to catch on fire. Be full of the Holy Ghost. He said, not just be cold. Live in the world. Be like the world, because you can't. We can't fool God anyway. We can't fool God. So he says, you can't play both sides of the fence. And so he's warning us, all of us. He says, you have everything you need. And sometimes that can be deceitful as well. Gain is God. That's why the apostle said, he says, don't let gain be considered godliness. That could be very deceiving. Oh, I got a big home, big house, nice cars, good job. This, that, and the other. My kids are blessed. Oh, no. Look at me. I got all this stuff. It could deceive the soul. And look, I slip up every now and then. You know, I drink a little bit. I go out and every now and then, you know, I curse every now and then, blah, 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 blah. And so these things can be deceiving. If these things wasn't so bad, again, the devil will say, if they wasn't so bad, why is God blessing you like this? And so he'll have people in the middle, in and out, deceiving their hearts, thinking it's okay to dwell in sin. And so he says, it's not that way. He says, don't you realize you're wretched, you're poor? He says, you're miserable, poor, blind, and naked. As we covered last week about nakedness, the victory over nakedness, the shame against sin and shame, condemnation. And so he says, I counsel thee, verse 18, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. Get in the fire, purify the heart. The gold tried in the fire is a purifier. It's a pure gold. The Bible says in the fire, he says, that thou mayest be rich and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve. He says that thou mayest see, the purifying of the eyes, the heart, the mind, the soul. Let the Holy Ghost purify you. Burn up the chaff in the lives. Burn up any sin. Burn up any lukewarmness. Burn up any defilement. Burn it all away. We talked about last week about the stove, again, the putting food on the fire is to do what? To purify. You throw the gold in the fire, silver, whatever it may be, precious metals in the fire to get the impurities out. And so God is saying the same thing about the church. We must be in the fire of the Holy Spirit, to burn up the impurities of mind, heart, soul. Let's go to verse 19. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke, chasten, be zealous. And so he says, I'm telling you this. I'm not trying to tell you this to tear you down or be doom and gloom. He said, I'm telling you this to help you. Remember how that parent was, that parent. He said, I'm only giving you a whooping because I love you. Every time my parents try to give me that speech, I'm only doing this because I love you. Bah, 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 bah. No. It didn't register at the time. But it was to keep us straight. It was there to keep us in line. And the same thing with God. God seemed like he was dealing with them harshly. Jesus was giving them some straightforward words, but it was there to keep the church in line. You think about a shepherd. A shepherd, he had to beat that sheep a little bit, hit the sheep, knock them back in place, get back out of, because once you go outside the gate, hey, the wolf or the lion is out there waiting. And so he'll take the rod. The rod is a comfort, but it's also a rod of again, correction as well. It's a rod of comfort. It is there. It got a big old hook, and it pulls them by the neck. You got animals with leashes, dog leashes. And sometimes you see people with dogs, they pull that leash hard, naturally. But it's there to keep the person in line. Sometimes I feel like God was pulling at us hard, pulling at the church hard, but he's trying to keep the church in line. That's why he put these first three chapters in the book of Revelation, to make sure the church, his children, the children of light, are ready. And so let's look at some orders. He said, to them I love, I rebuke. Verse 19 again. To them I love, I rebuke, chasten. Chasten means to correct. Be zealous. In other words, be zealous. Don't run from it, but be zealous to run to the feet of Jesus. Therefore, repent. Be zealous to repent. You know what, God? You're right. I'm this way. This is me. This is how I'm living. Forgive me, God. Let me turn from this. Let me turn from my wicked ways and get right with God. I told you the greatest mistake people can make is not to repent. Or to stay in sin. God has given us, by his grace, by God's grace, he gives all men an opportunity to repent. That's God's love. That's love. Chance after chance after chance, God gives mankind. And it won't be nobody else's fault but mine. And I think it's a song, old gospel song. It won't be nobody's fault but mine if I don't make it. Nobody else's. Well, this one did that. This one did this to me. No, no, no. It won't be nobody else's fault but yours. Because you got the Bible. We have the Bible. Everybody has the Bible. Everybody has access to a Bible, some form or some fashion. No doubt. Or God will send somebody to try to present someone the Bible. So we're with that excuse. So it says, be zealous and repent. Don't hold on to it. Don't let sin hang over your head. Because the rapture of the church, when Christ comes to take his church home, it can happen in a moment. The Bible says, in a twinkling of an eye, just as sure as these glasses are reflecting, that's how fast that it is. Quicker than the speed of light, that's how fast it's going to be. And it's going to be too late to pray. And most will not know what happened. The word's going to be brought over with a great, great deception and a delusion that they're not really going to understand what happened. Let's finish up. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Excuse me. Find these out, folks. Pray for me. I stand at the door and I knock. Jesus is knocking at the door of hearts. He knocks at the door of our lives. He said, I'm knocking on your door. He says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him. I want a fellowship with you. Jesus doesn't want to be on the outside. Don't kick God out of your life. Let him in. Come on in. I need you in my home. I need you in my heart. I need you every hour of my life. He said, I will sup with him and be with him. It's a blessing to have Christ. I'd rather have Christ than the devil on my side. Bible goes on to say, verse 21. He says, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. Can you imagine? He's going to say, come up hither. Come, let's fellowship. Come, let's have a good time. Come, enter into the joy of the Lord. I'm going to have you sit in my throne, even as I have overcome and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He says, you are invited to come be with me and my Father and all of the saints who've gone on of old. The Bible says in verse 22, he that hath an ear, if you're listening, if you're watching this broadcast, take heed, get right with God. He says, let him that hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The first three chapters was directed to the church world to get his children ready to meet God. Because in chapters 4 and beyond, really all the way up to 20, we're ready for the rest of the way, you're going to read about some things. It's going to happen over a seven-year period called the tribulation. We shared with you last week, tribulation, Jacob's trouble. And the church will be gone during that seven-year time frame. And so let's read chapter 4. It's a little bit shorter, but I'm going to go through it. I told you I'm going to go through everything. I'm not going to do this the whole book, but I'm going to give you some of this. And so chapter 4. So imagine, this is almost like a form of rapture. So listen what happened to John. So John, again, the writer of this book, John, back to some of you that joined late, John wrote the book. He was given the vision. So now John had a vision, and Christ is going to take him up to see the rest. This is what it says. And after I looked, and behold, the door was open and in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me. So it was this booming voice. The Bible says, he says, come up hither, and I will show thee things what must be hereafter. So he got called to go up to see the rest. The Bible says, number 2, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. So somebody was sitting on the throne. The Bible says that he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine and stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, he says, and in sight, and unto an emerald. So it was just a beautiful, majestic stones, and a rainbow was there. The Bible goes on and says in verse 4, round about the throne were 24 seats. So in other words, 24 seats. And upon the seats, I saw 24 elders. So 24 people were sitting on these chairs. The Bible says, clothed in white raiment, in other words, clothing. The Bible says, and they had on their heads was crowns of gold, multiple crowns of gold. The Bible talks about how we will receive crowns of reward because of the labors that we do. And so it's important to do the work of the Lord now. You shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When that trumpet sounds, You know what? There's rewards, and there will be jewels in your crown. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Gathering jewels. We sing that in a song called Send the Light. Come to church, and we can sing that sometime. But it's a crown of jewels for the crown above. And so do you have any, do you want to wear a crown? Do you want to wear a crown? We could be royalty, brothers and sisters. And so John saw this. The elders, the Bible says, and out of the throne proceeded lightning and thunder and the voices. He says there was seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. So he saw all this going on. Pretty self-explanatory. Which are the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God. Seven spirits of God. That's the second time I've covered it. I've come across it. You're going to see it multiple times. But you can read about it in Isaiah 11:2. I didn't give it to you, but Isaiah 11:2. It talks about wisdom. It talks about understanding. Let me see if I can get it for you real quickly. Maybe you can pull it up for me. Isaiah 11:2. Isaiah 11:2. It describes just the seven spirits. You may be wondering what the seven spirits of God are. This is one way it was described. Some even say if you look at a menorah, the Jewish menorah has seven candles. And so the candle was representing the seven spirits as well. Of God, kind of part of the menorah is for that. This is what it says here. You got 11:2, Isaiah 11:2. Mm-hmm. All right. The Bible says, "In the Spirit of the Lord shall rest." So the Spirit of God is one. The Bible says, in general, the Spirit of the Lord. Again, so the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of fear. Again, are some of the spirits. The Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. So let's go back to where it was going in Revelation Revelation 4 is where we left off. So I just wanted to highlight some of that for you. This is how it was described. Revelation 4. I'm going to try to get through this chapter. All right, let's go back to verse 6. The Bible says, "There before the throne, there was a sea of glass." And so think about the throne sitting in this middle of this room, of this place. And the floor was like glass, crystal clear glass. The Bible says it's clear as crystal. Can you imagine the floor? Pure, transparent type of floor. The Bible says, and in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, four beasts full of eyes before and behind. So there was these creatures that was around as well. There's some things we haven't seen yet. There's some things in the scripture that my eyes haven't seen, ear heard, all the things God has, in store for us. And so you think about that. There's some creatures, there's some beings, angelic beings, animals, and creation, creatures that we haven't. There's some things here on earth we still haven't even seen. Scientists are still discovering stuff deep down in the sea, stuff out in space. There's things that will blow mankind away. But anyway, let's go. The Bible says in verse 7, he says, "The first beast was like a lion. And the second beast like a calf, third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast like a flying eagle. The fourth beast had each of them six wings about them. They were full of eyes within. They rest not day and night." So in other words, they up 24/7, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, is, and to come." In other words, he talked about the omnipresent, all-knowing, all-powerful, forever and ever God that he is, first and the last, beginning and the end. There is no end to God. And they say this over and over again, just adoring him, holy, holy God that you are. They are adoring and worshiping our God up in heaven, Heavenly Father and the Son Jesus. The Bible goes on and says in verse 9, he says, "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever." Number 10, he says, "And 24 elders fall down before him." They bow down and worship him. The Bible says, "That sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne." This is what they said, as they threw the crowns on the floor before the king. Again, every king, everybody will bow. And so naturally, they even took off their crowns, because we're nothing before our Almighty God. The Bible says in verse 11, he says, "And thou art worthy." This is what they were saying as they were there in the throne. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." They was adoring the Lord. The Bible says, "For thou hast created all things, and for thy presence they are and were created." So all things were created for him and by him. And so they were all just glorifying God. God saw a worship moment. He saw the worship that goes on in heaven. It's an awesome time. Let's go to chapter 5. I'm going to get through some of this, folks. We gotta proceed. We had never go through the book of Revelation. Excuse me. Again, bear with me, my allergies, folks. Fight through it. The Bible says, and I saw the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written, and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw the strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? So he saw these things. It was a document, and it had some seals on it. Imagine like a scroll or something. Again, and it had seals, you know, like I just imagine like a wax type of seal that, you know, when somebody seals something, they know, especially nowadays, they used to seal it so it could not be opened until the person, the receiver, would be able to open it. So naturally, it was asked the question, who's worthy to open these seals? Who's going to be one to unleash, that gives permission to unleash these things that we're about to see? The Bible goes on and says, no man in heaven, nor in the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. I'm going to give you something that is fictional. You think about, what's that fellow's name? Thor, the man with the hammer. And actually, nobody could carry this hammer but Thor. His father had taught him, he says, you're the only one that's worthy to carry this hammer. And so that's just fictional. I didn't want to get that mixed up. But you think about that, there was only one person worthy to open these seals. This is what it says here. Where are we at? Verse 4. He said, and I wept much because no man was worthy to open or read the book, neither to look thereon. John was like, oh my God, this is a tragedy. This is a tragic moment. Nobody can open the book. Nobody's worthy, is what he was saying. Number 5, he went on and says, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion, capital L, of the tribe of Judah, the root, capital R, of David, hath prevailed. There's somebody, he says, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. There are going to be seven things that are going to be unleashed, or time frames or periods that were going to be markers in this seven-year period that will be unleashed. This is what it says. And I mean, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. There he is, that lamb, capital L. Who's the lamb? Some of you Bible scholars out there, the Lamb of God. He says, and as it has been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth in all the earth. There it is again, seven spirits of God. He says, and he came and took the book out of his right hand, or out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And number 8, he says, and when he took the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus Christ. The Bible goes on and says, having every one of them heart, golden vials full of odors, he says, which are the prayer of the saints. You think about the full of odors. And so the vials that was unleashed, and think about it, it had all these prayers of the saints. Think about how he talked about the sweet smelling savor. Our voices and our prayers go up like a sweet smelling savor. And naturally, again, kind of reference to that as well. Number 9, went on and says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. Who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus being slain, being crucified. The Bible goes on and says, and by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and the people and nations. So he came to save all nations and people. And number 10, he says, and thou hast made us to go unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign reign on the earth. And so naturally, through the born again experience and through the saints of God, we will come back and rule and reign on the earth. On that new Jerusalem that we talking about in heaven, when it comes down, we're going to have authority and power to rule the new population of people that is to come. Let's go on. Number 11. He says, and behold, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders and the nine. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Just a whole multitude of people. The Bible says in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. There's a song about that. Worthy is the Lamb He says that was slain received power and riches, wisdom, strength, honor, and glory, and blessing. They continued to worship the Lord. It was a worship moment. In the presence of God, that's all we will be able to do is worship. Bow down and worship him. The Bible goes on to verse 13. And every creature which is in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth, and as such as in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I's blessing and honoring and glory and power unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. So even John began to worship. You can't help but worship in the presence of God. You will worship. The devils are going to worship. Everybody's about to bow down and worship. Every knee shall bow down. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Everybody's about to bow down and worship when it's all said and done. Some people say, I don't believe in God. But you will one day. You will one day. My friend, tonight, I challenge you to start believing now, because it's going to be too late then. It's going to be too late. Get saved now. Worship Christ now. Give your life, your soul, your efforts, your energies to the Lord. It's going to be worth it all. Heaven will be worth it all. Don't lose your soul for what's in this world. Don't lose your soul over sex, drugs, alcohol. Don't lose your soul for petty sin. Get right with God. My friend today, this earth, this life that we live is short. It's only 70 years or so, plus or minus. No doubt only what's done for Christ will last. And then it's eternity. Eternity is forever. So 70 years is not even a blip on the radar compared to eternity. Let me finish up. The Bible says in verse 14, And the four beasts said amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. I'm going to try to squeeze out one more chapter here. Chapter 6. So John saw all of this. John saw all of this. He saw the worship that was going on in heaven. Even as we speak, people are worshiping God. The new saints are going up in heaven, are worshiping and having a good time in the God. And oh, my friend today, for the believers, we can hardly wait to get there in time. But we got more work to do here on earth. We got to continue to reach out to the lost while there's still time. Continue to let them know that Jesus will one day come, no doubt, and we must be ready to meet him. Let's go to verse chapter 6. The Bible says, and I saw the Lamb. There it is again. He saw the Lamb. He saw Jesus again. I saw the Lamb and opened one of the seals. So now, the Lamb of God. Who was worthy? The Lamb. Now he has these seals in his hand. And it's about to be unleashed. The seven-year tribulation, the seven-year calamities is about to be unleashed. A horrible time in history. It's seen that I've never seen before. You're about to read. It's about to be unleashed here in chapter 6. This is what it says, the seals. The Bible goes on and says, I opened one of the seals and I heard, and it was a noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. It's one of the, talk about the four horsemen. One of them is the white horse. The Bible says, he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and conquering. War and just destruction, man. The Bible says, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard a beast come and say, come and see, come and check this out. This is what's going to happen next. The Bible says, and there went out another horse, it was a red horse. Power was given unto him and said, and to take peace from the earth. They should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. The Bible says, and so naturally it's going to be chaos, destruction, no peace on earth during the seven-year time frame. Bible goes on and says in verse 5, he says, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast saying, come and see. Come check this out, John. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on it had a pair of balances in his hand. You ever see the balances? Dealing with the financial system and various things, the economy and things like that. Listen to what it says. I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny. Three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. So there's going to be some economic issues going on, and it's going to be calamity. Brothers and sisters, today, it's not going to be the same. You think about prices being high now, and things out of whack right now, inflation, all these, there's going to be a lot of mess economically as well. The Bible goes on and says in verse 7, he says, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the beast saying, come and see, and looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of it. And his name that sat on him was Death. So the rider of that horse was named Death. He specifically named it. He said his name is Death, the rider of that horse. And the Bible says hell followed. And with him power was given unto him over the earth, the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with beasts of the earth. So that's going to be a fourth of the, a great, great destruction came along with it. It's going to go into more detail later on, but he's just giving you kind of an overview of what was great happened. The Bible says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw the altar of the souls of them that were slain of the word of God and for the testimony which they had heard. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, Lord, how long, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood of them that dwell on the earth? Number 11, he says, and the white robes were given unto them, every one of them that was sent unto them, and they should arrest yet for a little season, he says, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed also, killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And so he saw the next seal was he saw the martyrs of those that became Christians during that 7-year time frame. There will be converts. There will be converts. There will be Jewish converts. There will be converts of people that will be evangelized. God's going to use the Jews to evangelize 144,000 people to preachers to go out and preach the gospel to give Israel one more time. And whoever else will hear, but it's going to be very hard to hear. So I'll wait to then. No. Why would you want to wait to then anyway? You may not make it to then. There's no guarantee. It's going to be very hard to be saved, if not nearly impossible. And so, again, he went on and said how that he saw the martyrs, and it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be like now. You ain't going to just go every Sunday to church. You're going to have to hide, duck, and dodge, have secret church. You're going to have to hide from the soldiers. You're going to have to hide from the government. You're going to have to hide to just even mention the name of Jesus. Because we talk about coming soon, the Antichrist, we're going to read about later on. He's going to require allegiance to him, and you better not mention Christ, because I believe that all the calamities, all of the natural disasters, and all these people that are going to be dying, they're going to blame it on religion. They're going to blame it on Jesus. They're going to blame it on God. See those Christians, blah, 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 blah. And on and on and on. They're going to find an excuse to crack down on the Christians as they did in the days of old, as they do now. That's going to be the excuse to kill Christians. They're going to cause people to denounce Christ. The Bible says they're going to be beheaded. Christians will be beheaded. They're going to be burned. They're going to be killed. And actually, the Christians are crying out to God, saying, God, will you come get us? Will you come rescue us? Take us up with you. Why are you leaving us here on earth? And he told him, he says, this is a little bit longer. You got a few more going to have to die, then we're going to I'll take you home along with the rest. Let's look what it says in verses 12. It's the sixth seal. The Bible says, and behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. He says, and the moon became blood. So you're going to see things in the sun and the moon as well. The Bible says, and the stars fell from the earth. Just think about that. Stars are going to be falling. The stars that are suspended right now, they're going to be falling on the earth. Meteor showers, on and on and on, like never seen before. The Bible says, when that sixth seal opens, the Bible says, even as the fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. The Bible says in 14, and the heavens departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and islands were moved out of its place. So great earthquakes to where islands would be shifted. Mountains would be shifted, if not falling. Rocks are going to fall all over the place. Talk about a horrible time. And that's what it says. 15, and the kings of the earth, those that are nations, leaders of nations, and people of the earth, and he says, and great men, business owners, and great men, and prestige and honor, the Bible says, and rich men, and chief captains, military men, mighty men, even bound men, a bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountain. They were running, trying to dodge these fallen stars and these fallen rocks. You can't run. It's too late. You can run, but you can't hide. They try to hide in caves and get away. They're going to try to find shelter. See people building bunkers now. Oh, we're going to build an underground bunker for the nuclear war. We're going to do all these different things. Nah. You can't run from it, buddy. It's coming. It's coming. Get saved. The Bible goes on and says in verse 16, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us. So as they're running to these dens and these caves, they're saying, fall on us. I can't take it anymore. Their hearts are going to fail them, the Bible says. People's hearts will fail them. And they're going to wish that the rock, just take me out of my misery. I can't take what I'm seeing right now on the earth. This is what's going to happen in Revelation and the sixth seal. People are going to wish to die. The Bible says he's going to cry and say, I wish one would come and fall on me. The Bible says, and they hid their faces that sitteth on the throne, and they was trying to hide themselves from God. Perhaps they didn't get, they probably even had a glimpse of God. They were trying to hide from God. The Bible says that from the wrath of the Lamb. You're trying to hide from him, but you can't hide from him. You can run, but you can't hide. It's the only thing to go. Get saved now, my friend. Get saved now. The Bible says in verse 17, and the great day of wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? That's what he's asking. Who's going to be able to stand? Who can stand? All right, guys. We'll stop there. We'll stop there, all right? We're going to get through some more next week. I really just practice every verse. But my plan is not to read every verse, but hey, this stuff is so good. It's so good. And I hope, I'm trying to explain it in a loose way. I mean, you know, a way to where it's understandable, where you can grasp a picture of it. And so it's going to be a serious time. A serious time. And so don't be here for that time frame. If it happens in a lifetime, make sure that you have been raptured. What is the rapture again? The rapture of the church is this. When the trumpet sounds, you read about it in Thessalonians, you read about it in Corinthians as well. When the trumpet sounds, the Bible says, dead in Christ shall rise. And those that remain here on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord. And church today, the church will be gone. And for this 7-year time frame, as we just open up, this, John's giving you kind of an overview of what's happening in that chapter right there, an overview of that 7-year period, some of the things that's going to happen during the 7-year period. He's going to go in a little bit more detail on some of the more intricate parts of that 7-year period in a little bit. Next week, we'll go cover some of that. But you don't want to be left behind, my friend. You don't want to be left behind. It's not like on the movies where they say, oh, you know, people have a second chance. And really, it's going to be very hard because, again, the Bible says there will be a strong delusion. We'll stop at that. It's going to be a strong delusion. Do not be deceived. And you think about how that so many are deceived now not to even serve God. Can you imagine people that are going to be deceived into thinking that the Antichrist, who was going to raise up during this time frame, he's going to raise up and have miracles and try to combat some of the miracles that are not happening on the earth. And so people are going to look at him as naturally the answer and the solution for all of these calamities and the things that are going on. We'll cover it more as we proceed through this book. But God bless you, is our prayer. We look forward to seeing you this Thursday night in service. Come on down and join us, 334 Ashford Street. And again, Mother's Day this weekend. Mother's Day this weekend for those watching this broadcast live. Mother's Day this weekend. Happy Mother's Day to you, ladies. We look forward to seeing you soon. God bless you. Amen.